And now, a word from our sponsors.
Need a catch-up session on what you missed last week? Now you're listening to ArchD Radio, the podcast mix.
ArchD Life FM, James here with you. Hope you're having a fantastic evening. It's great to be in your ears this evening. And I've got a very special guest, the very first time she's ever been on the show. So it's very, very exciting times for us here. Carla Sparapani, I've known you for many years though. We have known each other for a very long time. How far back would we go, do you reckon?
Probably about 14 years, I would say.
Oh my goodness, that's incredibly specific.
I go by how old my son is and I work backwards from that.
Oh yeah, no, I'm the same. I definitely have a clock, whatever people say, like, how long have you been working for Catholic education? And I go, probably around about 19 years and 7 months. People are like, how do you know that specifically? Because I started working here 2 months after my son was born and he's now 19 years and 7 months. So there you go.
Exactly.
Good times. So that's one, because you've been in and around schools and in and around Catholic education for a very long time.
I have.
But I'd love to go back, because clearly, I don't know if anyone's yet picked this up, but you're not originally from Catholic education South Australia. You're originally from a different part of the world. But I really want to get into that, as well as kind of like your early memories and of especially of family and church and those sorts of things, and how that's developed over time, because you've now become, and you're now like a senior advisor here, working. Like, what's your sort of like main job here while you've been working at the office? Because I know you've come as an APRM from schools. That's a big part of what you do, assistant principal of religious identity and mission. So your brain and soul is married to that whole thing. But you're here doing what sort of advice are you giving to the office while you're here?
So at the moment, I'm a system coach within the curriculum team. So I get to go to different schools and experience different things within those schools and advise when it comes to the curriculum that's happening and the learning and leading within that. So it's been a really great experience to bring the religious education background along with the curriculum background to the different schools and melding that together.
Okay, we'll touch on that in a bit later, because I'd love to know how that's done. Like, for instance, like, because if we're talking about curriculum in every other sense, I guess, you know, maths, English, numeracy and literacy and all those sorts of things and everything else in between that, what does a religious perspective look like when you throw that on top of all those things? Like, how do you come at it from that way to make it feel more like this is a truly Catholic education curriculum? Do you find that you do that? Do you bring that perspective in?
Yeah, I find that I always go back to the authenticity of the religious curriculum and how it links to everything we do in every single subject.
I love that you said authenticity. I thought that was such a perfect word.
You.
Yeah, I thought that was great. Carla Sparapani is my very special guest. I've known Carla for many, many years as a teacher within Catholic schools in South Australia. We've worked together in many different capacities. She's also worked as a, I guess for people who don't know what an APRM is, it's someone who works in the leadership area of the school, but really on the religious side in terms of mission. Because it's not just about teaching religion, is it? Because for people who aren't familiar with I guess, you know, the Catholic branch of Christianity, is that there is so much else that fits within that idea of what we see as being Catholic identity and mission, the hands and feet stuff that we go out and do for others in the community, and the way that we try to be good citizens of the world and good citizens of the community with one another. But if we were to go all the way back, you didn't just kind of like pop out and go, right, off I go. See you later, guys.
No.
School day ends at 3. What was kind of like for you in terms of like church in your early life? Where did that begin for you? And I guess when I say where did that begin, not just in terms of like what age were you, where were you in the family in terms of the journey, but where actually were you when it all started?
So I was born and raised in Southern California, in a majority Hispanic neighborhood. So I'm Mexican American by background. So I didn't learn English until I was about 4 years old and I started school.
Seriously?
Yeah. So
wow.
Yeah. So it's a great background to have, and I still dream sometimes in Spanish, which is kind of cool. And I can't think of certain words in English at times either, but
The
EAL background is really important to me as well. So my background is Mexican American, and the Catholicism behind that is slightly different as well.
And what does that mean? Like, how is it different?
Just the way the mass is celebrated, the fact of the music that's involved, the community that's involved. I find community really important.
Sure.
And I think that community is really, really important to the Spanish culture and the Mexican culture in particular. So that's what I remember when it comes to church at a young age is the community and the music and the celebration, I guess, of Mass.
I've got to ask a quick question though, because it's the first thing that popped to mind.
Yes.
Is that when we see like depictions of those kind of Latina communities in Los Angeles, like on TVs and movies and things like that, tell me one thing that they get right and one thing they get really wrong.
Ooh, something that I think they get really right is the food.
They do get that, okay.
I do think they get the food right.
Like what? What are the particular ones where you go, oh yeah, those things for sure.
Oh, when they get the tamales out.
Oh, yes.
You know, the different enchiladas.
Yeah.
Those different foods that they bring out, because that's your community. It's the food. It's surrounded food. Yeah, I think the food's really important to the community because it brings everyone together.
Yeah,
okay. And usually it's based on your family and, you know. Growing up in my family, four of my families all lived on the same block and we all gathered at my grandmother's house. And so we all got together for food.
All right. So that does sound like that is something that's depicted a lot. What do they get really wrong? Like what's a classic when you go, oh man, you guys, honestly.
Oh, geez. I don't know actually.
I think maybe one thing that does spring to mind straight away though, it is often depicted as like a lot of crime. That's something
that is true.
Is that actually true though? Is that unfortunately part of what it's like growing up in those kind of communities?
I think a lot of it is depending also on the community. And yes, you're right. It is often depicted with a lot of crime. Mm. And it often happens that it's because it's such a poor situation. A lot of times families have to work a lot of jobs. So I worked in alternative education, for example, and a lot of my students were gang members. And the reason was their parents had to work four jobs to support the family.
Yeah.
So the kids often didn't have that family support at home. So they got into other types of quote unquote families.
That must have been hard working in, and what was that like working and knowing that, that these kids were very much, at risk?
It was really rewarding to see them succeed.
Yeah.
But at the same time, very heartbreaking. Yeah. So my very last year working in alternative education, I actually had four students who were killed.
Oh my God.
And that was absolutely heartbreaking because these were 16, 17, 18-year-olds who were just in a bad situation or in the wrong place at the wrong time.
Yeah.
And so for that was hard to experience. But at the same time, you had the other side of the education. You saw the kids who graduated school that you didn't expect them to graduate.
You could really see yourself making a difference in that.
Exactly.
Space,
yeah. Exactly. And that really is why I got into teaching. I started there as a what you would call an ESO here, but over there it was a support worker of some sort. I started in that role, trying to make a decision on what I was going to do with my life. And I found that I was really making a difference. And that's why I got into teaching.
Carla Sparapani is my very special guest here. Wonderful teacher in the system. Currently, I've grabbed her here today because she's currently working in the at the Catholic Education Office, where we're based here with ArchD, working as a system coach, helping people out in schools, teachers and other people in leadership. We were just talking a little bit about your early memories growing up, church, family and things like that, growing up in Southern California in a Latino background, which is incredibly rich background. Was it a very Catholic family, a very Catholic community that you were in when you grew up?
Yeah. So my dad was actually studying to be a priest when he met my mother.
Righto.
Yes. So our family has always been very religious, very church going. Which was my life. That was what I knew it was. Sunday mornings, it was church. And then it was off to my grandmother's house for lunch. So that was our tradition.
That sounds like a good Sunday.
It was a good Sunday. It was a very good Sunday. So church was really important to us as a family.
Yeah, yeah. Was there a moment, though, when you went beyond that thing of it's just something that you did, where you went, I'm actually going to choose this for myself more consciously? Was there a moment when that happened for you?
I have to say it was probably when I moved here to Australia.
Okay. When was that for you? When did that happen?
So I moved here in 2016.
Isn't that long ago then.
Sorry, I take it back. 2006. Show 2006.
My age. Okay.
2006. I forget how old I actually am. So it was actually 2006 that I moved here.
Okay.
And that's where I found that the church was my community when I moved here. Because moving here, I didn't move with any of my family. I moved here to marry my husband, my now husband.
Okay.
So I moved here with no one. And so the church became my community.
And where did that begin? You moved here, you landed here. How did you find the community? Like, how did you find yourself there?
I'll be honest. I did a little bit of different churches. I saw which one suited me. I ended up landing at Hectorville Catholic Community with Father Marshall. And they just really took me in. And afterwards, you know, after the marriage and having a child, we really built a bit of a community and a real family-based community there as well. So I have some lifelong friends that I met, you know, in 2006. Yeah. So I think that's when I made the choice for myself to be actually part of that Catholic community.
And was it really, what was it about that that really spoke to you? Was it the way in which you were welcomed? Is it, was it the way in which you sensed a kind of a deeper a spirituality that you hadn't been aware of previously? I mean, for you, what was that? What was that about it?
I think it was the fact that it was my choice. Yeah. That it wasn't something that I was made to go to every weekend. And not that I disvalued that from my growing up, but it was the fact that I actually made the choice to be there every Sunday.
Yeah, yeah.
And make connections and be part of that community.
So. Are you still there at Hectorville?
No, I'm not. I actually changed parishes to be at the one that my kids went to school at.
So. Okay.
Yeah.
Okay, lovely. My very special guest today is Carla Sparapani, and we are talking, I guess, all about her journey, especially through her own faith, and her journey through the church as well. Of all the moments that you've had, I guess, growing up in terms of growing up in the community that you did over in California, coming over here, moving here, being part of this community, and all the stuff you've done, I guess, teaching, probably more so that, I guess, working with students in schools, has there been a moment for you that really does kind of, when you think about those moments where you delve deep into your inspiration bank and go, that was a moment when I know that I was truly inspired or I truly inspired somebody else? Is there a moment that immediately pops into mind unbidden?
It does.
Yeah.
And it was actually after I had moved here. I got an email from a former student that was passed on through a coworker of mine in the US. Mm. And this student had had a really difficult life. Brother was in jail for murder. And this student, all he wanted to do was graduate high school and go into the military to make himself a better life.
Right.
And I got sent an email of him in his Marines uniform. Oh, wow. That he had graduated high school.
And did you know that's what he wanted?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, so the minute you saw the photo,
I knew exactly.
you straight away what was going on.
I knew exactly what had happened.
Wow.
And I was just so proud, and not of myself, but of him.
Yeah.
The fact that he transcended so many different tragedies in his life, because his brother ended up actually being, killed in jail.
Oh my God.
When he was in year 12. So the fact that he was able to transcend all that,
yeah,
and get what he actually truly wanted in his life was just amazing.
And why did he contact you?
I was his teacher and helped him get those last couple of credits,
yeah,
to actually finish high school and to be able to apply, because he had to get a certain amount of certain grades to actually apply for the Marines.
Of course.
So that moment always stands out to me.
Yeah. Did he say anything? So he sent you was it an email that you got?
It was forwarded on to me because he didn't have my email here.
I see.
So it came through a former coworker. So he emailed her saying, can you please pass on to...
Was there anything that he said that sort of struck you as being a kind of a new piece of information perhaps that you weren't aware of previously?
Probably the fact that he didn't believe in himself. I thought he did. I thought he was quite competent and really outgoing. But the fact that he actually didn't think he was going to do it.
Yeah.
And he did it on his own after I left, which I felt so guilty for leaving him, you know, in the last couple of months of his.
Did you really?
Yeah. But, you know, at the fact that he was able to finish that off on his own and that he had the wherewithal to go through with it was amazing. So, yeah.
That's wonderful. What an amazing story. And what an amazing story of his that you were able to be a part of as well.
Exactly.
That's
right.
So wonderful. Carla Sparapani is my very special guest on the show here today. Now, we get to, Scripture Corner, which is where we look at what is the week's gospel reading and we say, okay, what does this mean to us? Like every good homily that any person at priest will give you will always somehow relate to your own life and feel like it speaks to you in some way. This is really that one about the idea of the vine with many branches, that we are all part of the same vine, when Jesus talks about that. And it's really about being in community with one another and the importance of being in community. Now, you've talked so much already about community. Is there a moment, like potentially more recently maybe, when you've really felt how important it is as a community that you work together and together the whole is so much greater than the sum of its parts?
Probably my current context of the school I work in at the moment. Over the last couple of years, I've had a really lovely experience of having been part of St. Gabriel's up in Enfield off and on for 12 years. Mm. So I always find that I go back to that school. And there's reasons I go back to that school. The reasons I go back is because of that community and the fact that we work together as a community to help the students of the school and the parish, and working alongside, for example, our co-school within the parish of St. Bridget's is really important to me. And I think the fact that we all work so collaboratively together to bring up the entire parish is really important to me. Mm. And I'm really invested in what happens within that. So even though it's not one specific example, I think it's the whole bringing back of that school and that parish and revitalizing it.
And what does that look like? And what does that feel like when that's working well? I mean, because I know what you're talking about, and it's a feeling and it's an idea. But when communities really do get together and they do work in concert with each other so well, what is it about the that community in particular that happens? Is it about the staff together? Is it about the way that the students feel invested in what's going on? What is it about it for you that really does kind of go, that you step in there and you go, yes, this is a community that understands the meaning of that word?
I think it's that whole Olsh charism of being in collaboration with other schools that are in Olsh, like St. Bridget's, for example, where we all have the values encompassed by that, and the students know what the values mean and showing it amongst themselves within the school. The fact that the staff know that as well and speak about it highly within the classrooms is really important. So yes, it's that overarching feeling that you get when you step into the school, knowing the context and the fact that it's started to revitalize over the last couple of years is really... yeah, it really speaks to me about the changes, but yet the familiarity of the school.
Yeah.
So the fact that, yes, it is changing and evolving, the actual core charism and values of the school still remain.
So for people who don't know what a charism is, the Catholic Church is a very interesting little thing in what it does. Is it has there's the whole thing of what it is to be Catholic, have Catholic identity, mission, and all of those core principles. But there's all these little offshoots about the people who founded specific schools or founded specific charisms. They have is what I'm trying to explain. They have a particular focus and a particular way of living their faith out, and that becomes kind of like a little branch, a little offshoot, very similar to the reading, I guess, in terms of the vine with many branches, in that way. And the Olsh Our Lady of the Sacred Heart charism is one of those particular ones that encompasses St. Gabriel's and a whole bunch of other schools as well. One thing that I do love about St. Gabriel's, I was an outsider coming in and sort of noticing it for the first time when I did a few years ago, is that I always tend to do all of our podcasting and radio workshops with students directly after recess. So I arrive at recess time. You know what I'm about to say, don't you? You arrive at recess time and you go in with the classes, and directly after recess, the students sit down and do Catholic meditation. They sit down on the carpet, and they've even got the singing bowl, and they have a 3-minute private meditation. But the thing that really struck me was that they start saying a little bit, or whoever is the reader on the day reads a bit of a passage, and then there's a school prayer they all say directly after that. Now, I can't remember it off by heart. Can you say it for us, please, Carla?
Yes. So we say the Olsh charism, which is, we are faith-filled heart people who value relationships, pursue excellence in learning, living the gospel message of love.
Wonderful. And that's just it just touched me, because I love the simplicity of that, said in such a way that resonates completely with primary school students of that age. And they're saying it every day.
Every day.
And that's, I just think, so wonderful. So wonderful. James here with you this evening. Hope you're having a really wonderful time wherever you are, if you're out, if you're driving, whatever you're doing. If you listen to us on the podcast, I hope you're actually having a great one too. It's wonderful. Carla Sparapani has been our very special guest on the show. If you've only just joined us on the radio, I thoroughly recommend you listening to the entire show. It's available as a podcast for you now. If you want to jump onto wherever you get your podcast, just look for RHD Radio and you'll see Carla's beautiful smiling face looking back at you saying, listen to my podcast. This is wonderful. Carla, thank you so much for taking the time out. I know you're super busy. I totally took advantage of the fact you're saying, I want to come over and use the podcasting studio to do some recording. And I'm like, yes, yes. And you may need to stay a little longer because I'm going to grab you to be on the show now.
I appreciate your time. Thanks for having me, James.
It's absolutely my pleasure. We are here every Wednesday night from 9, every Saturday night from 10. Stay tuned to Life FM for more of your music and we will see you in a few days. Bye.